Light is so common that we often take it for granted. Yet can you possibly conceive of life without light? In the beginning of time, it was God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Light created on the first day. How quickly this world of ours would change if suddenly there was no light. Consider the ramifications if there was no light. You and I could no longer see, because light coming to our eyes makes seeing possible. Without light, you and I could no longer eat, because green plants use light from the sun to grow and to make food. And all the food, or the most of it, the food that we eat comes from plants such as vegetables or from the animals which thrive, the ruminant beasts and the vegetation, namely the grass. I'm sure today you had your Sunday roast. The ruminant beast ate the grass, but without the light, there wouldn't be the grass. Without light, we couldn't breathe, because as the plants and the trees which God created grow, they give off oxygen. And oxygen is a necessary part of life in our respiratory system. So without light, we couldn't breathe. Ultimately, without light, you and I could not exist. Because the light from the sun heats the earth. And without the sun's light, crops wouldn't ripen. And the earth would become so cold that nothing could survive. And surely experience will teach us that there is very little growth in the back of a cave. Why is that? Because there's no light. What is light? Light is a form of energy. More particularly, light derives from a source which is self-existent and self-sufficient. The Gospel of John introduces us to the true light. But John refers to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Look at the verse. No, now it is John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the verse 7. "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." And then the verse 9. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And the verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Here John is introducing us to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus then confirms and consolidates that teaching that he is the light of the world. We read of that in John chapter 8 that we were looking at. In the verse 12, Jesus Christ clearly says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And indeed, just over in John chapter 9 in the verse 5, we have the same word spoken. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is light. And I put it to you that he is also life. Today, dear soul in the gathering, if you are out of Christ, then you are dwelling in the darkness.
In the darkness of this world, there is no light, and you do not have life more abundant, because light is Christ, and life, true life, is found in Christ. There is a message in the gospel for your heart today, taken from this text of John chapter 8 and the verse 12. Firstly, I want you to see the nature of this light. It is viewed in terms of appearance. And the appearance of this light comes to us in a twofold scenario. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." What are the two different appearances? As a veiled light. The one of whom we read in John chapter 1, the verses 10 and 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They knew him not." The same could be said of the two that walked the Emmaus road in Luke chapter 24 and the verse 16. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." They were in the presence of the light of the world, but their eyes were darkened and they couldn't see. Just as the eyes of the sinner is dark that they cannot behold the loveliness and the beauty of Christ. All power dwelt inherently within Jesus Christ as he walked in the scene of time. And he could say, "All power is given unto me." He is the creator of all. John 1 and the verse 3 certainly teaches that fact. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And we read of that again, written by Paul in Colossians 1 and the verses 16 and 17. How that he made all things, and by him all things consist. He is the creator of all, this veiled light, the sustainer of all. You know, Jesus Christ was both God and man, in two distinct natures, yet one person forever. And this means that Jesus Christ was as truly God as he was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, both God and man. And that is the mystery of godliness. In the Old Testament, this great truth of the two distinct natures of Jesus Christ was exemplified to us through Gideon's earthen pitcher. You will recall the time when Gideon, with the 300 chosen men, assembled and gathered round to defeat the Amalekites. They each had a pitcher in their hand. And what was that pitcher? Well, very, very simply, there was a light inside it. The pitcher was but an outer element, a casing of clay. But inside was the light, the candle. And you remember the story. How that when Gideon gave the command, they smashed the earthen pitcher and the light shone. And of course, in the darkness, the enemy thought that there was going to be an invasion, that there were a multitude of the Israelites gathered round about them. Well, my friend, in a very, very simple way, when we think of the person of Jesus Christ, he had a body of clay, just as you and I have. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. But inside that earthen pitcher of clay was the light of the world. The light which no man, which nothing can extinguish. The light of life. But for the most part, Jesus Christ is and was as a veiled light. I wonder today, to you, is he like a veiled light hidden from your eyes? There came a time, thanks be to God, when he became the unveiled light. The psalmist says in Psalm 36 in the verse 9, "In thy light
shall we see light. That is prophetical of Jesus Christ. And it's only when this light is revealed that the whole world that languisheth in darkness shall behold the light of life. There came a time when the light of the world would reveal himself to heathen darkness. That he would show himself to the world. And God the Father permitted the light to break forth from Christ's earthen pitcher. You can read of that in Matthew chapter 17 and the verse 2. It recounts the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And you remember that time when he shone forth with brilliance and effulgence of light. Just as he did to the two that walked the Emmaus road. Just as he did to Saul of Tarsus and the Damascus road. In Acts 9 in the verse 3, when suddenly there shined round about them a light from heaven. Jesus Christ was revealing himself to fallen man. To man who was cursed by the fall. Jesus Christ is still revealing himself to people today. I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the true light. And his light shines upon the road that leads souls to heaven and to home. Are you in Christ? Have you this light indwelling within you? Are you saved? The nature of this light. And then secondly, the functions of this light. And of course that can be considered in terms of attributes. Light is contrary to darkness. And that is certainly in view in Genesis 1 and the verse 4, when God divided the light from the darkness. Light penetrates through the darkness. Or considering it in another way, darkness recedes with the dawning of a new day. And therefore, light is more powerful than darkness. What are some of the functions of light? Well, in the first instance, we can say that light guides. Light guides us. At one time or other, we have all seen the benefit of car lights. At one time or another, we've all taken a torch and went outside and we've shone the beam to show the path before us upon which to walk. Or maybe you've seen the bright light that beams forth from a lighthouse. Now all of these things, they have a purpose, they have a function. And that beam of light shining forth, it shows the motorist the way ahead. It illuminates, it penetrates darkness. It reveals potential danger, pitfalls or potholes. And we one and all, we know something of the functions of these lights that I've mentioned. But as the light of the world, the chief function of Jesus Christ is to lead men from the depths of the darkness, of the depravity of sin, from the dungeon and the pitfalls that enslave them, and to guide them onto that glorious pathway leading to everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he came into this sin-cursed world to show you the way to heaven, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. Remember the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you remember again the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness? When out of Egyptian bondage they came and the sea before them lay. Do you remember when they were caught in the wilderness between Baal-zephon and Pi-hahiroth, the two mountain ranges? The Egyptians beset behind them, the sea before them. Do you remember, even as they journeyed through the wilderness, God guided them by the pillar of fire by night? The light guides. And again, just taking that illustration, the light guards. Because when the children of Israel were encamped in that location, the Egyptians pursuing behind and the sea before them, what does the scriptures teach us? That God took the pillar of cloud by day and brought it round behind them, that it stood between them and the Egyptians. And it gave light to the camp of Israel, but darkness to the Egyptians. Light not only guides, it also guards. And my dear friend, in the house of God today, when you think of the state of your soul, when you think of the condition of your heart, you today are maybe saying, oh yes, I want to come to Christ. I would love to come to Christ. He is showing you the way, but you are reluctant. You are fearful. You are fretting. I want to tell you today that my Savior will not only guide you through life, but he will also guard you. He will keep your feet from falling till at last you reach the Jordan and pass safely through. The light guides and it guards, but it also light heals. There's a wonderful verse or two, and I'd actually thought about preaching it this morning, but if you turn in your Bible to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. This chapter really speaks of the coming of the Lord. It's prophetical scriptures. I want you just to see the contrast between verse 1 and the verse 2. The verse 1, it says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's a terrible day that is prophesied, a day that is coming. How terrible to be unconverted, to be consumed. Notice verse 2. Notice the opening word, but. But determines a change. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. What a tremendous portion this is. But see the verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That's the healing of the light of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. He can heal you from your malady of sin. His blood was shed to provide redemption for you. You may think you're too sinful, you're too wicked, you're too evil. But I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ can heal you. He is the Son of Righteousness. Many times have you heard people talking about the solar system and the sun that shines. And a lovely sunny day, they're happy. Their countenance is bright. Doesn't matter the problems they have. As the sun shines a smiling face, all sorrows are erased. If Jesus Christ today could only shine on your black and sinful heart, I tell you, all your sin and sorrow would evaporate and be gone. There is healing in Jesus Christ. There is healing at this moment for you. If you would only but come to the Savior, there is healing. But then finally, and quickly, the conditions of this light. John chapter 8 and the verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice the conditions that are laid down here. He that followeth me. There is a principle laid down. Christ must be first. He must be the leader. He must be the guide. He must be the king of your life. Today, what is it that you're following? Who is it that you're following? What are you running after? Where are you seeking to find solace for your heart, for your life? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. A Christian is one who follows. Follow, follow. I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I would follow on. Tell me today, dear sinner, are you following Christ? Why are you not following Christ? What is putting you off? What is holding you back? A principle is being laid down. He that followeth me. There is the preference as well. We cannot follow Christ if we're trailing the world. We need to forsake the world, forsaking all others, and take Jesus Christ. You see, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But your eye isn't single. And you're not following Christ. You're running after the things of the world. Maybe it's because you think that if you follow Christ, that you'd be a loser. You'd lose all out in all the joys of life that you hear others talking about. When we think of the Apostle Paul, was he a loser for following Christ? No. Nobody is a loser for following Christ. There's a crown awaiting in the sweet by and by. But notice as well, attached to these conditions, there is the promise. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The promise is that you'll not walk in darkness. You'll not walk in the darkness of ignorance and error. You'll not walk in the darkness of perplexity. You'll not walk in the confusion of this world, nor in the darkness of joylessness. No, but you'll have the light of life. And you see, light, as we said at the outset, is essential to life. Without light, there would be no life. And without Christ, there is no life eternal. Without light, all is doomed to failure. Without the light of life, when you journey through the valley of the shadow of death,
You will spiritually wither and die. You know, there's coming a day when each and every one of us will stand at the cold, icy waters of death. How will it fare for you, the valley of the shadow of death? Dear sinner, for me and for others who know Christ, we do not fear death. Maybe fair to say we don't want to die, but we don't fear death. Why? Because we have the light and the life of Christ within us. And we know that when we come to cross the Jordan, that Jesus Christ will be there to welcome us and to bring us safely home. I ask you in the gathering today, have you Christ? Have you this hope? Are you found in Christ? Choose Christ today, ere it be too late. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We are your servant for Christ's sake. If we can help you, if we can do anything for you, then speak to us. But this night I urge of you, get to Christ and enjoy the light and the life of the gospel of redeeming love. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.